Welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We're always online at npr.org. In days of yore, a hobo would hop a train or perhaps a tramp steamer, lending that said steamer his sobriquet as it became a tramp steamer. And he would wend his way, he would ambulate or allow the vehicle to take him to different places. What he would see, he would note, and occasionally he would lose a leg in the journey. And luckily that doesn't happen to us, and hopefully at the end of this, you'll retain all your limbs. But if it doesn't happen, we offer no assurances, except for this. We hope you enjoy this, our ramble.
Okay, I'm going to try to follow that up with a story about Hello Kitty. Who doesn't love a good story about Hello Kitty? Japan has named Hello Kitty very revered in Japanese culture. This character has been named the Japanese cultural envoy to China and Hong Kong, which are really the same place now. I don't know why we separate Hong Kong these days. Animated ambassadors appear to be a trend for Japan. Remember, a couple months ago, we reported that Japan named Doraemon, the cartoon robot cat, as ambassador of anime. Japanese tourism officials say they want to reach the goal of 10 million foreign visitors every year until a new Visit Japan campaign, and they're using Hello Kitty to draw more visitors from China, who currently make up 16% of foreign tourists. Representatives from Hello Kitty's parent company, Sanrio, say the toy's new position is a, quote, honor, and that Hello Kitty will, quote, work hard to attract many visitors. And Hello Kitty doesn't just smile benignly from all manner of store-bought trinkets. She's also the headliner in a multi-million-dollar musical that opened in Beijing earlier this year. Hello Kitty's dreamlike fantasy will soon be on international tour. Get your tickets now.
I heard it's very dark. It's like a Coen Brothers film.
It's very, very
dark. The wood chipper scene at the end is quite disturbing. So what would you do tooling along an Illinois interstate if you saw a mountain of double-stuffed Oreo cookies blocking your way? No, it wasn't a delicious stunt from Nabisco. Authorities say a tired trucker traveling from Chicago on Interstate 80 fell asleep at the wheel and slammed into a median.
Ouch.
That sent a 14-ton load of double-stuffed Oreos onto the roadway.
Wow.
Both lanes of traffic had to be closed while the cookies were removed. The crash is under investigation. They could have also released dozens of cows to aid the scene and help travelers. But they did not.
They chose not to do that. They did not. The Tasmanian tiger is believed... Is that your Tasmanian tiger?
That is an actual Tasmanian tiger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The Tasmanian tiger...
The magic of radio. They don't know it was me.
No, they don't. Is believed to have been extinct since the 1930s, but its genes apparently live on. Scientists say they've resurrected a DNA sample from the extinct animal by implanting it in a mouse. Never heard of a Tasmanian tiger? Well, it's not... cute tiger sound. It's not really a tiger. It's a dog-like marsupial. So does that change how you do your impression?
I knew that. You could hear the pouch and the guttural. A dog-like marsupial?
Dog-like marsupial. Called a tiger because of the stripes on its back. It was native to Australia, and it was declared extinct when the last known animal died in captivity in 1936. But samples of tiger pups have been preserved in alcohol. What? How do you preserve a sample of the... Anyway, which provided samples for the research. The DNA sample was taken from a 100-year-old preserved specimen. Scientists say the experiment enabled them to study how the extinct gene functioned by inserting it into mouse embryo.
And we have some tape of that.
Stop. Researchers from Australia and the U.S. worked together on the experiment. Co-researcher Richard Berenger of the University of Texas says, quote, this research has enormous potential for many applications, including the development of new biomedicines and gaining a better understanding of the biology of extinct animals.
Charities are worrying about donor fatigue with a mounting number of natural disasters in far-flung corners of the globe. Experts say Americans have not been giving as much as they have in the past to help with disaster relief in Myanmar and in China. Beside basic economic woes at home, they blame the overwhelming scale of the crises. A psychology professor told the AP, it's too much pain, too much tragedy for someone to process, and so we tend to pull ourselves away from it. Experts speculate that the more bad news there is, the less likely people may be to give. So far, Americans have donated a little over $12 million to charities for Myanmar, according to the Center on Philanthropy at Indiana
Myanmar.
University.
Yeah, you know sure, it's Myanmar. Right, yeah.
The group does not yet have figures for China, but the contributions are small compared to donations given to help with the recovery of Hurricane Katrina after the Asian tsunami. And that is your ramble. These stories and more on our website, npr.org/Bryant Park.